This is a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
For more information and to volunteer,
email info@ccradio.org.
Camden-based multimedia artist Sally Buchanan will be showing her latest work, titled The Inevitable Installation, at the Flux exhibition, which runs outdoors at the Chelsea College of Art later this week. Sally took time off from her then not quite finished work to talk to me, Marion Larrigy, at Camden Community Radio about her installation and how it came about.
I'm on a bit of a high. Everything else has to go to the wayside, and I work through the night. I've been doing like 14, 16 hour days or longer. I've been sewing continuously for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's so much sewing to do, I've had to ask a friend of mine to help me. So there's been two of us sewing for 2 weeks solid, probably about 250 hours of sewing, about a million stitches. And I get dizzy. Dizzy with excitement and exhilaration.
And are you finished sewing yet?
No, I've got 9/10 of the work done, and I've still got one more cell to finish sewing this afternoon and tomorrow.
Now, the work is...
Well, it's an installation. It's going to be in the Chelsea College of the Arts, the Rootstein Hopkins Parade Ground, like last year, outside. So you can walk in, and it's going to be an experiential thing. You're meant to walk in and explore. And I'm trying to create an environment which is like transposing the colours, so that the colour on the outside that you see in the light is different. So as if the world is continually bathed in different hues to how we normally experience daylight. And that's meant to try to be taking you into another world, maybe another universe or maybe another dimension where we're seeing things differently. So the cells are hexagon shaped. They're hexagon cubes, like cells in a beehive, and they all interconnect. They're about 2.57 meters by 2.57, etc., 2.5 meters tall. And they're all framed in a scaffolding framework, and then clothed in a membrane of very thin organza or voile fabric in 10 different colours.
Wow. And so this is going to be tall?
Two and a half metres tall, yeah, about, I don't know, it's about 10, 11 foot.
And it's going to stand outdoors?
Yeah, it's going to be in the wind, in the elements again. Well, and we did some rainwater tests, actually, and put through water onto the material, and it just comes through. So if it's raining, the water will just drip straight through as if you're outside, really, unprotected, really.
So do people look at this or go into it, or what do they do?
Well, you look at it first of all, and that's going to be great fun because there are 10 colours, but because the cells are overlapping, you can actually see from the outside there'll be a real rainbow of colour effects as you walk round, because different parts will overlap from the colours, and some of them are overlapping to the extent of 4 different colours overlapping as you walk round. That will move. You know, you have to walk round the whole thing, and also you can walk inside and explore. I've also tried to direct people's thought and try to direct people's attention by placing some embroidered shapes in some of the walls so that they line up. So these patterns are based on crystallography, and they're kind of directing you to sort of look and try and spy through the holes and think, why is that like that? Why should that be like that? What is this? What is it? And I've called the work The Inevitable, because it's really about what you expect to happen sometimes does happen. And in a way, these cells are, they've come from another world. They've come from my imagination, and I've pushed my own imagination as far as I, almost as far as I can. I'm sure there'll be other mad projects to come, but I've pushed it as far as I can. And I think that this probably is a spaceship or something like that. It's certainly a vehicle that's arrived here. Came from my imagination, but I've plunked it there, and it's sort of playing with scale, because there could be cells in a body and the colours echo that, but also it could be a protective membrane in which to enclose something else otherworldly that's arrived here, and you're going to go inside it and feel what it's like to be inside it, to see the world through different colours, different hues. So it's kind of like a bit of a play a play on the limitations of our electromagnetic spectrum, but also pushing it a bit further than that, trying to think, well, what if our environment was very different? What would it be like?
So there's an interesting thing there about scale, because on the one hand you've made it so that people can walk into it.
Yes.
But you're also saying it could be some microorganism in the body almost.
Yeah. Well, we could be an atom inside a chloroplast.
In that there are many things we don't know about, and we could be.
Yes, yeah.
We could be the ants in someone else's vision.
Yes, exactly that. Yes, that. Exactly that. And it could be also on the transposition between different dimensions, it could be that there was a mistake in the maths. and the scale of it got all wrong.
I sometimes don't actually know fully what my projects are about until sometime afterwards. And because I kind of work on an unconscious level. I don't know, I was trying to think before I came in this morning, what was it that actually specifically made me make this project? And it's lost. The actual initial starting point is lost. The title was to do with the inevitable, something that was going to happen. It was going to happen. I knew that was going to make it, but I didn't know exactly what it was going to be. It was going to be inevitable that it would happen, even though I've been working against a lot of stressful things going on that have been trying to get in the way of my work ethic, you know, and I've been, you know, having to force my way through to and it was going to happen. It's out of my hands, out of my control. I just, it's going to take place, and I don't know what it's really about. So maybe if you ask me again in a couple of months, and I might tell you a bit more about.
When you started out, did you know what colours you were using, what shape, what size?
Well, the actual technical choices actually in the end to make something like this dictate the scale. And we have made in the scaffolder's yard, we made a mock-up of three of the cells, and I did a practice hang a couple of weeks ago just to make sure it was going to work at all and to see if there was going to be any special changes that I needed to make. And in fact, the practice hang was very successful, so I'd got it about the right scale, and the guys thought it was going to be stable enough structure. So that then dictated. And then I go to various different fabric sellers and try and find the right colours, and then the width of the fabric actually dictates the choice of colour to a certain extent, and that has an effect on how you're going to construct it and put it together. And there are several constraints which, again, because it's man-made and I don't have limitless resources, so I couldn't have organza manufactured for me 3 metres wide, you know, which would have been very nice, which would save a lot of sewing.
You're an artist, Sally. You're very scientific.
Yes.
What's this about?
I do have a scientific background, and I love reading, science, sci-fi, and I like to think. I do love the natural symmetry in the world, and for me, it's quite inspiring to try to combine a bit of art and science, and use science to give me more ideas and inspiration about how to make people think, and make people think out of the box and think past the normal limitations of how we view the world.
So did art come before the science, or science before the art, would you say?
I think art came first. Yeah, definitely. I was a maker as a child. I was making, you know, dens in the garden, potions out of rose petals, clothes for my dolls. Yeah, I had a science background in the NHS, but then I've gone back to my art again. Now I just felt that I had something to say with my art, and that I knew I had the ability to make things, and particularly sewing and textiles. Been always loved making things with textiles, and I could use that as a way to express some ideas which deserve to be aired.
So although your ideas are partly informed by, I suppose, microtechnology and all of these digital things that allow us to see things, your actual work is made from...
It's organza or voile, which is commonly used some people use it to make neck curtains. Or petticoats, help. this is 220 yards of 10 different colours of voile.
So these are natural materials?
No, and not, unfortunately not, no. I mean, I could perhaps, if I'd had a lot of money, I could have bought cotton voile or silk voile, but I think that would have put it out of my budget. So I bought the cheapest polyester organza, which is fine for the purpose, and the colours are great. There's some super colours available. And also there's, apart from the 220 yards of organza, there's about 35 or 40 yards of crinoline, which is also synthetic, and that's used as a structural thing in order to help it hold together and it doesn't break up in the wind.
Wow, so these are words that we associate with domestic scenes in,
yes,
almost often in Victorian novels.
Yeah.
Is that something that you've kind of been aware of? Or?
Well, I like parallels. I like all the parallels. I think if you work conceptually, then the material that you use should have something to contribute to the meaning of the work. And in this case, it's very much man-made. Person-made. I've made this in man-made materials, which are made from petrochemicals, and I've created something from my imagination, which isn't really, it's not really real. It's an object, and it's open to interpretation, and that's really about what I'm trying to say about how we see the world. We make the world. And we are constrained by the limits of our perception, which allow us to only see within a particular wavelength of electromagnetic spectrum. But on the other hand, our bodies, which are adapted to this environment, also, they limit us. We can only function within that zone that our bodies allow us to. And that in turn, is, and I'm just pushing to the edge.
So you've
to the very edge of that perception.
So you've invented something based on ideas and things that you've seen and heard, but this is a new something for people to go and experience and be stimulated by.
I hope so. Yes, I really hope so. I hope it'd be a bit of fun, actually, too, and very enjoyable.
Because I imagine people who are accustomed to going to exhibitions would instantly see the draw from such a thing, but people who don't go could easily go along to this, never having been to an exhibition before.
Yes, absolutely, and very easy to approach, just to walk round. You don't need any knowledge. You can just experience it as it is. It could almost be a fairground attraction.
Now, your work is big, and it's not going to arrive on a great big lorry all assembled, is it?
No.
Tell us a little bit.
We start installing on Monday morning. I'm going to set up a time-lapse camera on the balcony at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then hopefully the scaffolder's truck will arrive at about 8:30. And so I'll get that on the time lapse. So we'll start with an empty parade ground, and then they'll take a few hours to put up my basic scaffolding frame using the layer all round system to make my 10 hexagons. And then probably lunchtime, I've got some people going to help me to actually hang the organza material, which has been pre-stitched in the appropriate shapes, including all the different doorways and entrances and so on. And we'll use some special industrial toggles, 700 of them, to hang it with. So it'll probably take 2 days. And then the exhibition opens, previews on Wednesday evening, 11th, from 6 until 9 o'clock. That's a ticketed event via Eventbrite. And then exhibition is open to the public on Thursday the 12th, and then on Friday the 13th from 11 until 8. Saturday the 14th from 11 until 7. And then the last day is Sunday the 15th of April, 11 until 5 p.m.
You hope it doesn't rain.
Well, I don't mind, actually. Just I would like there to be rain and a bit of wind and breeze. I don't really want a storm, but it would be nice if I have a bit more sunshine than last year, even though my last piece was outside in the summer in July last year. We were very unlucky. It rained every day. So I'd love to have a little bit of sunshine this time, just so I can take some nice, nice photos.
So, Sally, we wish you good weather too. Good weather of the sort that you want. Not
yeah.
too much rain while you're installing.
A bit of spring variety.
Well, thank you very much for coming in to talk to CC Radio.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Sally has created this work in order to get us to think outside the box. So why not take a walk through these colourful cubes and make up your mind whether you think it's a spaceship or a play on the limitations of the electromagnetic spectrum? Or what? The inevitable installation is at the Flux exhibition from the 11th to the 15th of April, showing outdoors in the Roostan Hopkins Parade Ground of the Chelsea College of Art, which is at John Islip Street, SW1P4UJ.
Camden Community Radio.
For more information and to volunteer, email info@ccradio.org.